How often have you been there? Everything's ticking along nicely when, boom, you find yourself flat on your face. The relationship falls apart. The job becomes a nightmare. You're made redundant. The lump that you tried to ignore turns out to be cancer. Your friend moves away. Your father dies. The street changes. The kids leave home. Things are going so well when it happened. The change is unlooked for. It's unwanted. It's a burden. It's a disruption to your real life. And you struggle. In tonight's story from the Hebrew Bible, we meet someone else in this position. Things are going pretty well for Jacob. He's married. His wives and the servants have given him 11 sons and even a daughter. He's finally found a way out from under the thumb of his father-in-law. And he's left that place, taking his family, his servants, and his great flocks of striped and speckled and mottled livestock with him. He's on his way home after many years away, and he's ready to take up his position as head of the family. Married, rich, blessed with children and goats and sheep and oxen, about to come into his own, what could go wrong? But word comes to Jacob that his estranged brother Esau is heading his way. Worse, Esau is travelling with 400 men, and in fear, Jacob decides to split his assets. He sends half his entourage in one direction and half in the other, so that if Esau is coming to take revenge, some of Jacob's family might survive. The wives and the servants, the children and the livestock all leave, and Jacob's left alone in the night. And a stranger appears and tackles him. One of the most insidious ideas about God is that life should be easy for those of us who are faithful. In our minority world context, where health is assumed and wealth is abundant, and our lives are so insular that people can grow into adulthood without ever encountering deep suffering, this idea is everywhere. Do the right thing by God, and God will do the right thing by you. Place your faith in God, and you'll be rewarded with prosperity and health. We're told to hand our cares over to Jesus. And some of us have so few cares that we find ourselves praying for a parking spot. When suffering does come, we're bewildered. Why, Lord, we ask, why? We're surprised that life can be difficult and taken aback that suffering might affect us. We become angry at God and reluctant to engage with whatever the difficult times might offer us. Many years ago, I had an intense few months. In a very short space of time, my mother died, Paul and I married, we moved house, I was sacked, and Paul had conflict at work. Getting married was pretty good, but overall it was a very rough time. And time and again during that period, doctors and others suggested that I might be depressed. Time and again they suggested that I should go on medication to ease me through this difficult period. And stubborn as I am, each time I'd say, no, my mother's died. There's a lot going on. I'm just sad. Jacob didn't have to wrestle. He could have kept his entourage with him and surrounded himself with his women and children and servants. There is safety in numbers. Jacob could have sedated himself with wine or some ancient Palestinian Prozac and allowed his encounter with a stranger to remain a blur. Jacob could have yielded to the stranger at the start, crying, "Leave me alone, I give up." But he didn't. He placed himself there alone. He stayed awake and he wrestled. The years that followed my mother's death weren't pretty. Wrestling rarely is. Often I was angry and weepy and a real mess. I read a lot. Genesis and Job and the Psalms and books on spirituality. I raged at God. Often I wondered if I was in fact depressed I wondered if I should be on medication. Life might feel easier, and it certainly had its attractions. But each time I came back to my reality, I didn't have a medical condition that required treatment. Instead, my mother had died, and no one would replace her. I hated my work. I didn't have a direction in life, and I found church very difficult. Of course I was a mess. Of course I was sad, and of course I was struggling. These weren't signs of depression. Instead, they were normal responses to the events of my life. So I struggled on. I struggled with sadness and the sick feeling I got every time I saw three generations of women out for a walk. I struggled with my impotence in the face of my mother's illness and at my inability to fix anything. I grieved for the past and everything we'd failed to say or do. I grieved for the future and for all the things that would now never happen. I raged at her peers who were coming into a very powerful middle age. I envied my friends whose parents both lived. I hated women who complained about their mothers, and I raged at a God who allowed suffering to happen. I ripped shreds off a medical system which prolonged people's pain, and I wrestled with our really lousy way of doing funerals. The night was long. The night was very dark, and I struggled. The stranger is strong, but Jacob is determined. The stranger persists, but Jacob will not give up. All through the night they grapple and twist and grab and roll, neither Jacob nor the stranger prevailing. In the first light of dawn, the stranger finally slips under Jacob's guard and with a low blow dislocates his hip. The stranger tries to leave, but in agony and gasping, Jacob holds on tight. He asks the stranger's name and demands a blessing. Grief wounds. Your heart aches in your chest. It's fragile and fragmented, knotted together by bits of fraying string. Any sudden movement could jolt the pieces apart, never to be made whole again. Grief is like an icicle lodged in your torso. It's too big for the space, it's too cold and it's too hard. It makes it difficult to breathe deeply, difficult to move easily, impossible to laugh. Every sudden shift causes pain. Grief is a sick lurching in the pit of your stomach, a ringing in your ears, a cloud obscuring your sight, a dull fog in the brain. You can't eat. You sleep in the day, you wake in the night. Grief leaves its marks on the face and on the body, the lines around the mouth, the sadness in the eyes, the drooping of the shoulders and the general turning in. You move slowly and carefully, like an old woman who fears the treachery of every step. You limp. Grieving and wounded, still I held on. Again and again through that long and dark night, I clutched at faith. I looked for beauty. I grabbed at bread and wine around dinner tables and after a time at church. I seized onto new life and gardens and babies, and I became pregnant. I learned to sing. My mother's death left a gaping absence in my life. But in the absence, I found more room for me. I began to study theology. I learned to parent. I started to write. In leaving one church, we found our way here. In letting go of a magical God who rewards the just with an easy life, I came to recognise the God who engages with our difficult questions and never ever shies away. A God who sits with the grieving and comforts the afflicted and shows us the path to fullness of life. We can run away from struggle. Thanks to television and alcohol and busyness and any number of escape mechanisms, We can avoid engaging with a mysterious stranger, the one who comes to us in the night and pins us terrified to the ground. Or we can put up a token fight, then throw up our hands in defeat and stop asking questions. We can choose to compromise our integrity and our faith, and all of us do this in big ways and small, time and time again. Because wrestling with a stranger changed Jacob, and who wants that? Life may not be great, but it's comfortable and familiar and safe. We don't want change, we're human. We don't want to be different from how we were. We don't want to be different from the crowd. And we don't want to be marked as wounded. So we can gloss over struggle. We can ignore the change that's thrust upon us. And we can live in denial. It feels easier to keep being the scallywag Jacob, or the angry youth, or the wounded lover, or the bereaved one. We can ignore our responsibilities and instead become the victim whose life is thrown about by the fates. But we're not invited into little lives in which we gain credit for being childish. Instead, we're called to life in abundance. We're called to maturity. We're invited into the love dance of creation and out of our very woundedness to offer healing to others. And while faith is a gift, blessings come to those who are prepared to wrestle with their faith. For it's when we're alone and vulnerable, limited in strength, shaking with fear, forced to leave the old ways behind us, that we're finally open to God's presence with us. We can finally surrender to God's refining work within us. For in struggle, we discover new depths of endurance and courage and independence of thought. In struggle, we find wisdom and patience, compassion and insight, vision and strength. Through struggle, we're transformed. And through struggle, we grow up. So the next time you're attacked in the night by a terrifying stranger, don't turn your back. Don't pour yourself a drink. Leave the television off. Instead, I encourage you to engage. Wrestle and try and catch a glimpse of the stranger's face. Use every dirty trick you know and hold on tight. Whatever you do, don't give up. Because whether on that same night or many months down the track, the dawn will come. And then, like Jacob, you'll find yourself in pain and gasping, but with new self-knowledge and a new name, and a new awareness of the presence of God. You might come away limping, but that's a small price to pay for this wisdom, these gifts, and this blessing.